Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Pesachim Memtes. We begin at the top of the Amud, says the Mishnah, Arbo Osar, Shecholiyos B'Shabbos. If the 14th day of Nisan, Erev Pesach, falls out on Shabbos, when do we do Bir Chametz? Mevar Nes HaKoil, Milifnei HaShabbos, Divei Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, you're meant to destroy all chametz before Shabbos. Of course, except for what you absolutely need for Shabbos, the 2 sudas worth. But everything else, take care of before Shabbos, so that you don't have to engage in unnecessary tircha on Shabbos. You can leave everything for Shabbos. Perhaps I'll need it. There's no need to do bir chametz before Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar Tzadik Omer, it depends. Truma milfnei Shabbos. When it comes to truma, which case you know, there are very few customers for truma. Only the kain and his animals. So you know that there's no need for this truma to be around on Shabbos. In that case, do biur before Shabbos. However, v'chulin bizmanon, something which is not truma, leave over for Shabbos, perhaps he'll need it. And then he can do, at worst case, he'll do biur on Shabbos itself. Tanya, Rav Elazar said, I'll prove my point with a story. Pamachas Shabbos Abba B'yavne. There was once a story with my father. Father was Rav Tzadik, right? So he spent Shabbos in Yavne, which was Rabban Gamliel's place. V'chol arbo osar lis b'Shabbos. So it was Erev Pesach on Shabbos. Ubo zoinin memuna shron Gamliel. Zoinin, who was the one in charge of Rabban Gamliel's home there, he came and he announced, V'omar higia eis levaris hachametz. Look, time for bir chametz has arrived. V'olachti achar abba. So I followed after my father, Ubi Arnas HaChametz, and we did Bir Chametz. So apparently the official Zman Bir Chametz is actually on Shabbos itself. And this supports my Shita. That although Truma is meant to be taken care of before Shabbos, but at least when it comes to Chulin, the official Zman Bir is on Shabbos itself. Says the Mishnah, Ha'hoilich lishchaydes pischay. A person is on the way to take care of his Korban Pesach, to be shaychid his Korban, v'lamolos benoy, or to do mila for his son, v'le'echel sudas irisin b'beis chomif, or to go partake in a sudas irisin, which was a sudas mitzvah, an engagement suda, b'beis chomif, in the home of his father-in-law. So unlike today where we do the irisin and the nesum, one shot, they used to have a two-phase system. There was irisin, where they would get engaged, and then later on they would completed with the Nisun. So their practice was to make a Suda to mark the occasion of the Erison. That is considered a Suda Mitzvah. So if this individual is on the road, on the way to doing a Mitzvah, the Karban Pesach, Mila, or the Sudas Erison, and what happened? He remembers that he has some Chametz back at home, which he hadn't yet destroyed. So what does he do? Does he go back or not? Im yochel lachsa ulevar. If he has enough time available to go back home, destroy that chametz, and then resume his journey, go continue on the trip for the mitzvah, then he's meant to go back, destroy his chametz, and resume the journey. But if he doesn't have enough time available, it's either this or that. He should just nullify the chametz in his heart, do bittul, which minat Torah is sufficient. Right? Midrabbanan, they required both elements, bittul and bir. But in this case, where it's at the expense of a mitzvah, they waived that chiv, just do bittul and you're okay. So in the first category in the Mishnah, we have a person who is on the way to a mitzvah. And the equation is whether if it's at the expense of the mitzvah, then just do bittul. If he can handle both, it's efshel kaim shneim, go back, be mevar the chametz, and then continue on to the mitzvah. The second case is lahatzel min hanochrim. Suppose he's going to save Yidden from nochrim, from goyim, min hanor, or from a river, a flood, min halistim, from bandits, min hadleikim, from a fire, min hapeilos, from a collapsed structure, in which case he's involved in saving lives, pikuach nefesh. In this case, yivata b'liboy. In any case, at any rate, even if there's enough time available to go back home, and still do the pikuach nefesh? No. Yivata b'liboy, just do bittul. We don't want you to get preoccupied with other matters and perhaps neglect the pikuach nefesh. So in this case, we just say bittul and then continue on the journey. The third case is velishpois shvisas rishus. Let's say he's on the way to placing an eruv tchumen at the end of the 2000 amma boundary, which will enable him to walk past that on Shabbos. But it's for a non-mitzvah purpose. Shvisas rishus. Tosfos learns that he's going to spend Yom Tov by relatives. So although it's a good thing, perhaps considered a mitzvah somewhat, but it doesn't equate to the mitzvahs that we discussed earlier, the Pesach, the Mila. It's not on the same level. So the Mishnah regards it as Shvisas HaRoshos, a voluntary Shvisa. So since it's a non-mitzvah activity, and he just reminded himself that he left some chametz at home, Yachzor Miyad, he needs to go back immediately to tend to his chametz, even if it's going to be at the expense of what he's doing. So you have three categories. Number one, Pikuach Nefesh, just proceed. Do bittul and proceed. If it's a non-mitzvah activity, you have to go back regardless. If it's a mitzvah activity, then if you can do both, go back and do bir, and still accomplish the mitzvah, you meant to do that. But if he doesn't have enough time available for both, do bittul and proceed with the mitzvah. Continues the Mishnah. V'chein, a similar halacha we found in the case of Misha Yotzam Yushalayim. A person finds himself out of Yushalayim. V'nizka sheyesh b'yodei b'sar kodesh. He recalls that he has in his possession a piece of basar of kachem. And it's out of Yushalayim. It's now posel. B'yotze, left the boundary. And the halacha is, as Rashi explains, any kachem which become posel are meant to be burnt back in their home territory. So for instance, if we're speaking about kachem kalim, as Tosfos explains, in this case, where is the home territory? In Yerushalayim. Because that's where you eat the kachem kalim. That's where you're meant to burn it, if it's posel. So either you eat it properly, or you burn it. Both takes place in the same location. And Tosfos actually learns that it's the Rabbanon here, because this concept of burning it, b'makom kadosh, only applies to certain things, kachim kachim, or the emuri kachim kalim, but not the basar of kachim kalim. But in any case, it's a chiv to go back and burn it in Yerushalayim. But this fellow found himself outside Yerushalayim, holding onto basar kodesh, which is possible. What is he meant to do? Can he burn it right there, or does he have to go back? So it depends. If you already passed Tzoifim, which according to Rashi is the name of a town, from where you can see the Beis HaMikdash, or according to Tosfos, Tzoifim just means it's a term, looking, a place, the lookout, where you can still see Yerushalayim from there. So if you already passed this area, the farthermost point, that we don't obligate him to go back and burn Yerushalayim, he can just burn it right where he is. Vimlav, but if he hadn't yet passed that point, he must go back to Yerushalayim and burn it in Yerushalayim. Or if he chooses, he can do it lifnei habira, in front of the bira. Tosfos brings up pshat that there's a place in Har Habayis called bira, so in front of that bira, me'atzem harocha, using the wood designated for the mizbeach, he's allowed to use even that wood. Concludes the Mishnah. Okay, there's a chiv to come back, burn your chametz, burn the kachem. How much are we speaking about? Even just a crumb of chametz, a sliver of meat? No, it has to be something of significance. Va'ad kama in chayzer. For how much volume does he have to come back? We have a machlekes. Rav Meir Omer, zev zev kebeitza, whether it's chametz or basar kachem, if it equals a share of kebeitza, that's significant enough to require him to come back. Rabbi Omer, zev zev kebeitza, we deal with a share kezayis. It doesn't have to be as large of it as a kebeitza. Chacham Omer, it depends. Basar kodesh bekezayis. When it comes to the basar of kodesh, that even a smaller amount, even a kezayis, obligates him to come back. The chametz, b'kebeitza, when it comes to chametz, we're more mekel. As long as it's not a shir kebeitza, he doesn't have to come back. Tosfos brings the Yerushalmi that the chiluk between chametz and kodesh is like this, because when it comes to kodesh, there's no other option other than burning it. So more machmer. However, when it comes to chametz, since there's another option, a bittul, therefore we're more mekel, and we didn't require him to come back unless he has a significantly sized piece of chametz, which is a shir kibetz. So in conclusion, we have three categories in our Mishnah. If he's on his way to Pekuach Nefesh, just proceed, just do bittul, and keep on going. If it's a Dvar Rishus, come back and do beer. If it's a Dvar Mitzvah, then if you can handle both, fine. But if you can't, Just do bittul and continue on your trip. What are the three examples of mitzvah? Pesach, Milah, and Sudas Erusin. The Sudas mitzvah to mark the occasion of the Erusin. Says the Gemara, that's called the Sudas mitzvah? V'raminu, we have a brisa, which indicates otherwise. Ha'hilich lechol Sudas Erusin bebeis chomiv. He's on the way to the Sudas Erusin, the home of his father-in-law. V'lishbeis shvisas rishus, or on the way to set down the Erev Tchumen for a non-mitzvah purpose. Yachshu miyad, has to come back immediately. These aren't mitzvah activities. Even Sudas Erusin is not a mitzvah. Amar b'yechim le'kasha, the answer is, depends who's speaking. Harabi Yehuda, this price is Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that it's not a Sudas mitzvah. Harabi Yaisi, our mission is Rabbi Yaisi, who holds that indeed Sudas Erusin, which marks the first phase in the marriage procedure, the Erusin, then the Nesuim. So that's called a Sudas mitzvah. It's celebrating a mitzvah, first phase in a mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda evidently holds, no, that's not called a Sudas mitzvah. The Sanya, where do we find this machlekes? Sudas Erusin Rishus. The Rabbi Yehuda, he holds that it's not a Sudas mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a mitzvah. So our mission is Rabbi Yehuda, the price is Rabbi Yehuda. Now that Rav Chizda explained to us, machlekes, this entire discussion, this machlekes is only besuda shniya, regarding the second meal. Rashi explains that when they did the erusin, the engagement, they would mark it with a suda. That was the initial suda, the suda rishonah. And then the chassan would send some gifts. And to mark that, they would have another celebration, the gift ceremony. And that was the Suda Shniyah. Says Rav Chizda, all agree, the Suda Rishoina, which is coming to celebrate the actual engagement, the Erusin, certainly that's a Suda Smitzvah. The Machlokes is merely regarding the second Suda, which is coming to celebrate the gifts and the Matonis, the Sibloinus, Rashi says. So here's the Machlokes. Rashi says, that's also part of the Mitzvah, part of the Erusin, to generate goodwill. Where Bida says, no, it's simply marking the acceptance of the gifts, and therefore it doesn't constitute a Sudas mitzvah. So Machlek is B'sudur Shniyah. Machlek is only regarding that second meal. But regarding the initial meal, Tivra Kol Mitzvah, all agree it's a mitzvah. So knowing that, we can say like this, Afilu Tema Hava Rabbi Yehuda. You can even say the Mishnah and the Braisa are both following Rabbi Yehuda. But like Hashe, and the answer is like this, depends which meal we're speaking about. Our Mishnah, which regards the Sudas Erusin as the Sudas Mitzvah, is referring to the first Suda at the time of engagement, which is the Sudas Mitzvah according to all Shittas. Habasuda Shniya, the Braisa, which does not regard the Sudas Erusin as the Sudas Mitzvah, is speaking about the second meal, the festivities on account of the gifts, and though that Suda according to Rabbi Yehuda is not a Sudas Mitzvah. Tanya, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Ani lo shamati, Ella Sudas Erusin. I only accepted that the Sudas Mitzvah is the first Suda, the Sudas Erusin, coming to celebrate, to mark the occasion of the actual engagement, which is the first phase in the Mitzvah, the Erusin, the Nesuin, Avalois of Noinus, but not the Suda, which is simply coming to mark the gifts. That's not called a Sudas Mitzvah. I actually heard that both the Sudas Erusin and the Sudas Sivloinus are both considered a Sudas Mitzvah. Okay, so in summary, according to Rav Chizda, the Sudas Erusin is considered a Sudas Mitzvah according to all Shittas, and that's what our mission is speaking about. Whereas the Sudas Shniyah, which was conducted when he sent the gifts, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not a Sudas Mitzvah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even that's considered part of the mitzvah, part of the Erusin, the Nesuin, the Puravu, and is also considered a Sudas Mitzvah. Continuing on the topic of Sudas Mitzvah, says the Gemara Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Kol Suda She'ena Shel Mitzvah. Any banquet which is a non-mitzvah Suda, Ein Talmud Chacham Rashoi Lohanes Mimena. Talmud Chacham, who is expected to conform to higher behavioral standards, he's not allowed to have anah from a non-mitzvah feast. What is an example of a Suda She'ena Shel Mitzvah? Amar Rabbi Yechon, here's a chiddush. Kigoin Bas Koin Lisrael. The Suda, which is conducted to mark the engagement and marriage of a bas kohen, a daughter of a kohen, to a Yisrael, she's not meant to do that, because it's considered to be a downgrade to her high status. A bas kohen is meant to marry a kohen, or is going to see soon, at least a Talmud Chacham. But if she marries a Yisrael, that's considered to be a degradation to her status. So therefore, that suda is a non-mitzvah suda. U'bas Talmud Chacham lam'aretz. Another example is a bas Talmud Chacham who chooses to marry an am'aretz. It's an inappropriate zivuk, and that suda is not considered a suda's mitzvah. Don't Rabbi Yechon, bas koin l'Yisrael, if a bas koin marries a Yisrael, ein zivugun oyle yafe. The zivuk, the match, will not develop properly. My, what does that mean? Amar b'chizda oy almana oy grusha. Either she'll become an almana, or get divorced, or izera enla, or won't have children. Masnis etana, the b'raisi we learned, kaivra oy kaivrasai. Either he'll bury her ahead of time, oy kaivrasai, or she'll end up burying him young, oy mi v'asad de'anis, or she'll bring him to poverty. Is that appropriate? Eini, is that so? For Amar b'yechanan, haroi tzeh she'is asher. If a person wants to get wealthy, what should he do? Yidbak b'zari shel Aaron. He should cleave to the descendants of Aaron. Koshkein, certainly she toira v'kuhuna. That combination of his toira with her kuhuna, ma'ashrasan, will make them wealthy. So you see, it is appropriate for bas koyin to marry Yisrael. So it's more like kasha. The answer is, it depends who she's marrying. Ha b'talmud chacham. If she's marrying a talmud chacham, that's fine. That's considered to be somebody in par. Ha b'ma'aretz, but if she marries a ma'aretz, that's considered to be lowering her standards, and it won't be a successful zivuk. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua Nasav Kahanta. Rabbi Yeshua married a bas koyin. Chala, she fell ill. And in his great humility, he said, Omar, lo'hinicha leila Aaron. Apparently, Aaron HaKohen is not too pleased. The idbuk bizarre that I should connect to his descendants. The havale kichasna keno. To have a son-in-law like me. Rabbi Yehuda bar Avin, Nasav Kahanta. Rabbi Yehuda bar Avin married a bas koyin. And he was zoich, nafku minei. From him came out Trei b'ni smichi, two sons who were rabbonim who had smicha, Rav Sheshes b'ed Ravidi, Rav Yeshua b'ed Ravidi. So indeed, because he was a Talmud Chacham with a bas koyin, it's a great combination. Amra papa, iloi nesivne kahanta. If I hadn't married a bas koyin, lo yatri, I would never have gotten wealthy. Amra kahana, iloi nesivne kahanta. If I hadn't married a bas koyin, loy galoy, I would not have gone into exile. There was a story that Rav Kahana killed a yid who was a moiser, who was giving over the property of a yid to the goyim, and he killed him. And the authorities pursued him, and he had to run away. He ran to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Kahana attributed that punishment that he had to endure due to the fact that he married a koyenis. And again, this was an expression of anova. I shouldn't have married a koyin. I'm unfit to marry bas koyin. Amar lei, so they told him, follow makom Torah galisa. It's true that you went into Golis, but where did you go? You went to makom Torah, to Eretz Yisrael. So he said, but still, legaloi kedegali inshi. I didn't travel, I didn't go into Golis like ordinary people do. You know, a Talmud chooses to go find a makom Torah, but I was fleeing, I was on the move, I was running away from the authorities. And that's considered to be an einish. Amar Yitzchak, a person is nena, he indulges in non-mitzvah feast. Eventually he'll go into Golis. Those who eat these fat animals, these calves. What does the pasuk say? This is the pasuk admonishing Klal Yisrael for overindulging in pleasures, which will lead them into Golis. Kol tamat chacham harmar besudasai b'chol mokim. A Talmud Chacham who engages excessively, even in Sudeis Mitzvah. He's all over the place engaging in Sudeis. Soif Machrevez Beisei. Eventually, he's going to destroy his household, his home. He's going to deplete his funds because to maintain this lifestyle, he's going to run out of money. Uma Almanes Ishtoi. In order to maintain his habit, he's going to have to travel around to make some money. And he's going to cause his wife to be alone, to be an almana, and make his children, his Simon, without a father. V'talmud mishtakech menu. And due to the fact that he's not engaged in Torah study, his learning will be forgotten from him. Machlekes Rabbi's boislav, and many machlekes will descend on him. He's going to have to keep on buying on credit, max out his credit card, he's not going to have to pay back. And that's going to lead to machlekes. And his words won't be heeded. He's going to desecrate Hashem's name. Everyone will say, look, this is the behavior of Fetva Talmud Chacham. He's Machal Shem Shemaim, V'Shem Rabbi, V'Shem Aviv, V'Goyrim Shem Ra. Loy, he causes, he brings about a bad name for himself, Ula Bonav, his children, Ula B'nei Bonav, Atzif Kaldiris, to the end of the generations. Mahi, how exactly do people refer to his children? What bad name gets attributed to them? Amar Baye, Karle, they call the son, they call him Bar Machim Tanuri, son of the oven warmer. The father's engaged in warming ovens and preparing meals all day. Rav Amar Bar Market Beikuvi, a son of a fellow who dances in the taverns. Rashi says the late son of these clowns would dance around, put on shows to earn some mashke, some wine. Rav Papa Amar Bar Malchich Pinchi, they call him the son of a plate liquor. Rav Shmai Amar Bar, a son of Mach Rava, a son of a fellow who folds up his clothing and crouches, like the drunkards who fold up the clothing and collapse in Mola Street. Tom Rabban, La'olam yimkor adam kol ma sheyesh li. A person should be willing to sell all his property v'yisa bas Talmud Chacham, to enable him to marry a daughter of Talmud Chacham. So even if it involves selling all his assets to support himself, it's worth it. Why? She'im meisa yigoyle. Suppose he dies, or he goes into Golis, and he's off the scene. Muftach lo yishabon of Talmud Chacham. He's assured that his children will still be Talmid Chachamim because his wife, who's a Bas Talmud Chacham, who grew up with a tradition of Torah mitzvahs, she'll maintain that lifestyle and ensure that his children will be Talmid Chacham. However, Val Yisa Bas Amaretz, he should avoid marrying a daughter of Amaretz. Why? She may say Goyle. Because if he's no longer around, Bonav Amaretz, his wife won't be able to maintain that lifestyle. She doesn't have the same chashivas for Torah, and his children won't develop into a Talmid Chachamim, Bonav Amiyaretz. Tan Rabbanan, La'ulam yimkur adam kol ma sheyesh li. A person should be willing to sell everything that he owns, v'yisa bas Talmud Chacham, to enable him to marry a daughter of a Talmud Chacham. Likewise, v'yasi bitay l'Talmud Chacham. He should be willing to give up everything to enable his daughter to marry a Talmud Chacham. Mashal, this type of good zivuk, this good shidduch, what is it analogous to? Le'in v'hagefen, bin v'hagefen. Like one produces wine, using grapes from one vine, grapes from the other, mixes them together. So the variety, the two types, they complement each other and create a good, high-quality product. Dover no, something fine or miskabel, and accepted. V'lo'isa bas amaretz, but he should avoid marrying a bas amaretz. You know, actually, the stipler, Rabbi Yisrael Kanevsky, is known to have said that nowadays, any girl who goes to the Torah system, the Beis Yaakov system, who's imbued with the chashivas for learning Torah and keeping mitzvahs, in a certain respect, is regarded like a Bas Talmud Chacham. So a person should seek to marry Bas Talmud Chacham, v'lo yisa bas amaretz. Mashal, what is that a mashal to? L'ini v'agefen bin v'asneh, mixing the fruit of a vine with the berries of a thorn bush. Not a good combination. Dover kar, it's something undesirable. Ve'ini miskabel, and not accepted. Ton Rabbanan, lo'ilam yimkar adam kol ma sheyesh li. A person should be willing to sell all his properties v'yisa bas Talmud Chacham, to enable him to marry a bas Talmud Chacham. Lo'i motza bas Talmud Chacham. If he couldn't find a bas Talmud Chacham, what's second best? Yisa bas gedoy l'adar. He should marry a daughter of gedoy l'adar. Rashi says, Anshei Maaseh Tzadikim, righteous people. Lo'i motza bas gedoy l'adar. He couldn't find that. What's the next choice? Yisa bas Rashi Knesias. He should marry the daughter of the heads of the community, of the Kehillah. Lo'i motza bas Rashi Knesias. If he couldn't find that. Yisa bas Gabay Tztaka. He should marry the daughter of Gabay Tztaka, the Tztaka administrators. Rashi says they're presumed to be fine people, trustworthy people. Lo'i motza bas Gabay Tztaka. He couldn't find that. Yisa bas Melamed Tinoikis, he should marry the daughter of the Melamed Tinoikis of the Rebbe.
V'lo yisa, but at all costs, he should not marry bas ame'aretz. Why? Rashi describes the ame'aretz in this context, as opposed to ame'aretz earlier, which was merely an ignoramus. He was speaking about a person who disregards Torah mitzvahs. So he should avoid that at all costs. Mipnei shein shekets. They're considered like vermin. They're saying sherets, and their wives are sherets. On the daughters of the ame'aretz, the pasuk says, Orr, sheichem kol behema. Rashi explains because they're similar to behema, they have no lave, they have no appreciation for Torah mitzvahs, they disregard mitzvahs, not meticulous about the observance of Torah mitzvahs. So keep away at all costs. Tanya, Rabbi Yoimer, ame'aretz asur lechol basar. And ame'aretz is not meant to eat basar. Shenemar zoyis teiras habehema v'oif. We learn from there, Torah, zoyis ha-Torah, habehema v'oif, kolo'isik b'Torah, person who's engaged in Torah study, mutu lechol basar, behema v'oif. He has a right and privilege to eat the basar of the animals. As the Maral explains, when a person learns Torah, he's now in a superior state. And he has the privilege to eat something which is consumed, something which is lower in rank, the animal. That's what it's meant to be. The lower is meant to feed the higher. But a person who neglects Torah study and doesn't develop that superior madrega, so he's not really above the animal. He has no right to eat it. So, kolo'isik b'Torah mutar lechol basar behema v'oif. It's actually a tikkun. It's actually beneficial for the animal to be eaten by the Talmud Chacham. It's a schus for the animal to support the Talmud Chacham. Because she'en esek b'Torah, a person is not engaged in Torah study, also lechol basar behema v'oif, he may not eat basar behema v'oif. Omer b'lezer, am ha'aretz. Now we're speaking about a different type of am ha'aretz. Tosis explains that this fellow is a violent fellow and is suspected of shvichas damim. This fellow you have to kill. Mutal anoich rab yemek ipurim. You can go out and do nechira. So nechira is a term used in chulin by shechita. So the shechita and then there's nechira. You pull out the windpipe, the food pipe. That's how you kill the animal. This is am ha'aretz. You can do nechira to him. Even on Yom Kippur, shechali is b'shabbos. The Maral actually learns that it's not really literal. It just means that this am ha'aretz doesn't deserve to live. Amalei Talmidav, Rebbe, Talmidav turned to Rabbi Lezer and said, Rebbe, why are you making references specifically to Nechira? Rebbe, Amar L'Shechta, why don't you speak about doing Shechita? Amar Lezer, he says, I don't want to even give him that. Zeton Bracha, Shechita requires a Bracha. As the Maral explains, that indicates the fulfillment, that the behemoth's purpose in this world has been fulfilled. You make a Bracha by the Shechita. V'zeh einu toin bracha nechira, which is not a proper shechita, doesn't need a bracha. This am ha'aretz doesn't deserve to live. He hasn't fulfilled the purpose for living. So he doesn't even deserve a bracha. That's why I specifically made reference to nechira. Omer b'lezer, am ha'aretz, osur l'slav v'zimah b'derech. One may not accompany him on a trip. Shenemar, ki yicha yecha v'aruch imecha. The Torah is your life. And this am ha'aretz neglects Torah study, he neglects mitzvahs. Al chayev loichos. Look, he's even reckless about his own life. Al chayev chaver loikoshkein. Certainly, he's not too careful about his friend's life. Rashi says, there's a concern they might get up and kill him. Omer Rav Shmuel Rachmeini, Omer Rav Yochanan. Am ha'aretz mutar lekoyr kedug. So again, we're speaking about this. Am ha'aretz was a violent fellow. You can rip him apart like you rip apart a fish to save any future potential victims. He meant to rip Migabe from the back to make sure that he absolutely doesn't live. Tanya, Am Rabbi Kiva. Kesha Yisa Amaretz. We know that Rabbi Kiva for 40 years was an Amaretz. Says Rabbi Kiva, at that point, when I was still an Amaretz, Amarti, I would say, Mi yiten li Talmud Chacham, v'ana shchenu kachamar. I wish I can get a hold of a Talmud Chacham and I'll bite him like a donkey. Amr loy Talmidav. So Talmidav told him, Rebbe, Emor ki kelev. Why don't you pick a more typical example of a dog biting? Why do you refer to a donkey? Amr lahen. A donkey is much more damaging. Zeh noyshech v'shever. A donkey bites, breaks the bones as he does so. Zeh noyshech v'shever etzem. V'zeh noyshech. However, a dog bites, v'ein shever etzem. It doesn't break a bone. That's why I made reference to a donkey who inflicts greater damage. Interesting, Tosfos in Ksuvos actually says that Rabbi Akiva, even when he was still on Eretz, was a tsanua umali. The Gemara says he was tsanua, had good midas, and he was a shomer mitzvahs. So why did he have this attitude to the Talmud Chacham? Tosfos says, because he perceived the Talmud Chachamim as though they are arrogant to the Amei Eretz, and they disregard the Amei Eretz. So that, due to that false perception, that generated a sin in his heart, and he wished he can bite the Talmud Chacham. Tanya Hoyer Meorim, Kolamesi Bitel Amaretz, one who marries his daughter off to Amei Eretz, Ki'ilu Kaifsa Umanicha Alfnei Arit, as though he's binding her and placing her in front of a lion. Why? Ma Ari Doris V'Eichel, just as a lion. He attacks and he divorces. Mainly wishes upon him without any shame or embarrassment. He eats his prey while still alive. Af Hamaretz, likewise in Hamaretz, he acts inappropriately. Maki beats his wife, Uboil, and then he engages in relations. Mainly wishes upon him. He has no shame. Tosfos explains, he doesn't even wait to appease her. So this inappropriate behavior is common practice by Hamaretz. Tanya, Reblezoim, Il Mole, on its Rich Lehem, if not for the fact that the Amei Eretz need us for commerce and business, they'll go out and kill us. Tana Rabbi Chiya, if a person engages in learning Torah in the presence of Amei Eretz, it's as though he is being boiled, his betrothed, his arusa, in front of the chasen, which is very embarrassing and inappropriate. Why? Shenemar, Torah tziva lono Moshe, Moirasha. So Moirasha simply means an inheritance. But we have a drasha. Al tikri Moirasha. Instead of Moirasha, we read Ela Me'oirasha. Torah is like a college, betrothed to Kal Yisrael. And as Marshall explains, when Hashem presented the Torah to us, it's like a kala. Then when we actually engage in Torah study, we unite with the Torah, we bind with the Torah. And that's the level of nisun, like marriage. That Ma'aretz merely got the Torah, but he never engaged in it. He never bound himself to the Torah. It was never a bonding stage here. It remained his betrothed, his mayrasa. So when a person learns Torah in front of the Amaretz, it's as though he's bonding with the Amaretz's kala, because this Torah is still a murasa for the Amaretz. So that shames him and embarrasses him. Continues the Gemara. G'doyla sina shesoynin Amaretz, the Talmud Chacham. The hatred that the Amaretz have towards the Talmud Chacham is actually greater, higher in level. Yoyser misina shesoynin oyde gechav mesisro. The sin of Amaretz to Talmud Chacham is even greater than the sin of a goyto yid. Why is that? Because they're full of jealousy towards the Talmud Chacham, as opposed to the guy who just is out of the picture altogether. He doesn't have a jealousy, he doesn't have sinna. Unashay sein yesim hen. And actually, the wives of the Amaretz, their sinna is even greater than their husbands. Why? Because at least the Amaretz recognizes the chashivas, the importance of the Talmud Chacham. He has appreciation towards it. Fine, he's jealous, he hates him, but he understands that he stands lower than the Talmud Chacham. At least that much he knows and he recognizes. Whereas the wives, they don't even recognize that. So it's just a plain hatred. Tana, we learned in a brisa, Shana Upirish, one who was involved in learning Torah but then departed. Yoyser Mikulin, his hatred towards Talmud Chacham surpasses even all those, even the wives of the Amaretz. And the reason is, as Rashi explains, because he knows that the Talmud Chacham don't hold the Amaretz in such high regard. Therefore, he knows the inside story. And when he leaves Torah, unfortunately, he knows that they don't relate to him with too much respect. Tana Rabban, Shisha Dvarim Nemru B'Amaretz. There are six things said regarding the Amaretz. Number one, a Moishin Lehen Edus. Don't appoint them to testify. Ve'in Mekavim Menu Edus. We don't accept Edus. Ve'in Megal Lehen Soid. We don't reveal any secrets to them. They're not trustworthy. We don't appoint them as a caretaker for the property of the Yisoyim. Likewise, we don't appoint them as a manager on the Kupa Shot Stock. And we don't accompany them on the road because they're Choshed Ashrichas Dam. Another thing, we find an Aveda which belongs to Amaretz, we don't announce, we don't look for the loser. Taisa says, how do we know that it belongs to Amaretz? He says there were a group of Amaretz walking, and he sees an item dropping. So he knows with certainty that it came from Amaretz, but he doesn't know which one. So there's no mitzvah Shabbos Aveda. Rashi explains because by Shabbos Aveda, the Pasuk says, Avedas Achicha, your brother, and the Amaretz who disregards Torah mitzvahs, he doesn't have that status. So this is the sheet of Yesh Omrim that were part of Shabbos Aveda. Tanakama, who did not include in his list, apparently holds that he meant to return the lost item of Amaretz as well. But Tanakama, what does he hold? Zimnin denafek min ezarim al. Perhaps, although he's an Amaretz, maybe his child will be somebody righteous. He'll have a tzaddik as a child. V'achle, and his child will inherit this item, will enjoy it, so give it back, just in case. Shenemar, we find this phenomenon in a pasuk, Yochin v'tzaddik gilbash. So the pasuk there speaks about a rush who prepares, and the tzaddik ends up taking over the assets. So likewise here, you never know, perhaps this item will end up in the possession of his son, a tzaddik. Continues the Gemara. V'chei mishiyotze v'chul. So now Mishnah, we learned that there's a chiv to go back to tend to Sreifas Chametz, to tend to Sreifas Kachim. What is the shear? How much Chametz and Kachim obligates returning? According to Rav Meir, the shear is Kebetza. According to Rav Yehuda, Kezayis. Lememra, do you mean to say that Rav Meir suffer Kebetza the Chashiv? That a shear Kebetza has significance and requires Chazor? Rav Yehuda suffer Kezayis Nami Chashiv, even a smaller amount, even a Kezayis has significance? Ramini, we have a halacha which seems to present the same shita in the reverse. At kama he mezamin. At what point is zimun, the birchas hazimun, likewise birchas hamazon, required? How much does a person have to eat? At kazais. It needs to be bread, a share of kazais. So that's the shita of Tanakama, Stamish, Zermeir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer at kebetza. Only with a share of kebetza is one chayiv in birchas hamazon. So you see, the Rav Meir holds a kezayis is something of significance. Rav Yehuda says, no, only a kebetza, which is the exact opposite of our Mishnah. Our Rabbi Yochanan Machlav is a shita. Indeed, the shita is there, was switched around, reversed erroneously. But really, it's Rav Meir who holds kebetza, Rav Yehuda holds kezayis. Abaye Omer, no, lo ilu seifach, no need to switch things around. Hasam mikrei pligi. These are two separate contexts, two separate discussions. The discussion there, the machlek is dear, is bikrei pligi, based on psukim. Hacha besvar pligi, over here by us, the machlek is based on svar. Hasam bikrei pligi, over there the machlek is based on psukim. Rameya sover. Ve'ochalta, the pasuk says, ve'ochalta besvata ve'rachta, as Hashem alakecha, that's the pasuk. For brichas hamas, says Rameya, ve'ochalta zu achila. That's referring to eating. Ve'savata, that's referring to zushtia, drinking. You know, there's a sheet of Mordechai, one of the Rishonim, that if a person is thirsty and ate a meal without quenching his thirst, there's no chiv as birchas hamazon min ha'Torah. So min ha'Torah, one is meant to eat and drink if he's thirsty, and only then is there a chiv birchas hamazon. And actually, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch brings that a person chatchila should be machmer like this sheet. So Rameya says, look, v'chalta is achil, which is a shir kezayis. V'savata, that's the shtir. V'zu shtir. V'achila b'kezayis. Achila generally is referring to a mas achila, which is a kezayis. That's enough to be mechayiv birchas hamazon. Rabbi the Savar, v'achalta v'savata. It's not referring to ordinary achila, which is merely kezayis. You need a more prominent type of achila, v'achalta v'savata. Achila sheish b'sviya. An act of achila which has satiation. It is sviya there. It satiates. Ve'ezoi zu kebetza. A kezayis is not enough. You need more than that. An achila sheish b'sviya indicates you need more than kezayis, you need kebetza. So that's the basis of the machlokes by birchas hamazon. And actually, Tosis points out that these shiurim of kezayis and kebetza are merely midrabban. It's just an asmachta midrabban because min ha'Torah. Birchas hamazon only applies if a person has a full meal. Sviya gemur is fully satiated. So this is merely midrabban. It's either kezayis or kebetza. So that explains machlokes is there. Hacha by us. With regards to bir chametz, sreifas kachim, but svara pligi. It's based on a svara. And therefore, it's not necessarily linked to that machlekes, and it results in a reverse presentation. We're speaking about coming back midrabanan, right? Because in the Torah you can do bittel, and likewise when it comes to sreifas kachim, as we explained, since it's only Kachem Kalam, this chiyuv to come back and burn Yerushalayim is only Drabbanan. So when did the Chachamim obligate? When we have a significantly sized item here. How do we determine Chashivas? So the Chachamim drew a parallel from elsewhere. Chazurasi Ketumase. This same shear that applies to Tumah. We know that Oichel, which has a shear kibetza, can transmit Tumah. So Chazurasi Ketumase, the Chiyuv Chazara in our Mishnah, is equated to the shear that we find by Tumah. Ma Tumase Bekabetza. So kibetza is considered to be something of significance, and that requires chazara by chametz and by kachem. That's Reb Meir's approach. Reb Yehuda Savar, we're going to compare it to something else. Chazarasa kisuri, the obligation to return, to come back, to do sreifa, is derived from the shear that we find by the isur, ma'isur b'kazayis, just as when it comes to eating chametz, or eating the basar kodesh, which is pasal. When is there a chiv? A kazayis. Av chazaros bekazayis. Likewise, when it comes to the chiv of burning it, we draw from there what is considered to be a significantly sized piece of chametz or kach, a kazayis. So that explains the machlokes in our Mishnah. Tanya, Rabbi Nosson Omer, ze veze kishtei beitzim, v'loi hoid lo chacham. Rabbi Nosson maintains that when it comes to chametz or kodesh, you need to have the shear which equals two beitzim. That's considered to be something of real significance, which is mechayiv. Chazara, v'lohed l'chacham, chacham disagreed with this sheet. Okay, time for a brief chazara of today's daf. We began with the first Mishnah. When is bir chametz done? When Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. We have three sheetahs. According to Rav Meir, everything before Shabbos, except for what you actually need for Shabbos, we don't want you to engage in unnecessary exertion on Shabbos. Chacham say, just in case, leave everything over and burn it and take care of it on Shabbos. Well, that's what Tzaddik says, Truma before Shabbos, because, you know, there won't be any consumers when it comes to Chulin. You can leave it over. In fact, he had a story which proved this point. The Mishnah tells us we have three categories of a person who is in mid-journey and he recalls that he has chametz at home. If he's pursuing pikuach nefesh, then just proceed, do bittul and carry on. We don't want you to get preoccupied and perhaps miss out on the opportunity. If he's engaged in a non-mitzvah activity, go back at all costs and take care of your chametz. If it's a mitzvah trip, milah, pesach, or even a sudas iris, then it depends. If he has enough time available to go back home, be mivar chametz properly, and then proceed with the mitzvah, do so. But otherwise, just do bittul and proceed to the mitzvah. The Gemara tells us that there are two meals marking the occasion of the irisin, the initial meal at the time of the engagement, and then when the chassan sent some gifts, they would mark that as well with another ceremony. The first meal all agrees they suda's mitzvah because it's marking the erusin, which was the first phase in the nisuan. It's all mitzvah related. Regarding the second suda, Rabbi Yehuda says that's just a party to mark the gift giving occasion. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says that's also part and parcel of the engagement and the marriage. That's also considered a suda's mitzvah. We learned that a bas kohen should be careful. Only marry somebody of her ilk, somebody on her level, a kohen or a talmud chacham. The Gemara spoke about the greatness of marrying a bas talmud chacham or handing over your daughter to a bas talmud chacham at all costs. The Gemara spoke about the inappropriate behavior of our amaretz, and then we proceeded to the halacha of chazara. Person discovers that he has chametz at home or kachem in his hand, he must go back and take care of it. At what point is there a chiv? How much chametz does he have? So according to Rav Meir, it's a shir kabeitza which requires, according to Abaye, because we compare it to Tumah, where we find that shir kabeitza is something of significance. According to Rav Yehuda, the shir kazayis is enough to obligate, as we find that kazayis carries significance when it comes to the isser of the chametz and of the kachem. And then we'll conclude with another shita, shtei beitzin, the chametz did not agree. In fact, we have a third shita in our Mishnah, that when it comes to the Kodesh, the Chacham say it's a kazayis. When it comes to the chametz, it's a kabeitza. But that's over here. When it comes to Birchas Hamazon, we find that the shita somehow reverse themselves. And according to Abaye, there's no kasha at all. Because over here in our Gemara, it's based on Sfar, as we just explained, as opposed to the halacha of Birchas Hamazon, it's based on Psukim, Vachalta Besavata Verachta. According to Rav Meir Vachalta, Achila, Achila is Shir Kazayis, according to Rav Yehuda. Vachalta v'savata indicates you need more than just a plain achila. It needs to be achila sheish basviya, which is a kibetza. Again, Tosfos says, it's only the Rabbanon, not Torah. It needs to be a full meal, fully satiated, in order to be mechay b'chas ha-mazayin, as the Pasuk says, v'chalta v'savata, o v'irachta, es Hashem lekech. Take care, have a good day, haslacha rabbah.